Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Dane Brugler.
It'll be interesting this year. We'll see a different side of Hayes with so much importance being on those third and fourth round picks to get a player that's not only going to make an impact, but you can't afford to miss. When you don't have a first round pick, you don't have a second round pick, and you're picking once in the top 125 picks, you really have to get that third round pick right. And it puts more pressure on you to get some of those day three picks right. So I'm very eager to see, similar with some prospects, you know, we wait until year three, going into year four, before we can fully evaluate them in terms of how they've done at the NFL level. Kind of similar with general managers. I'm eager to see what he does this year with the Bears.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Happy Tuesday. Joe Sheehan of Sports Illustrated and Baseball America will be our guest at 10. The midday midway comes your way at 10:20. James Fegan, Sox beat reporter for The Athletic at 10:40. And who's your guy at 11:20?
It's back, baby. Day two.
Get drafty up in here. We also have another giveaway today. Dinner for Cinco. That's five guests at Chuy's, Tex-Mex Restaurants, your official Cinco de Mayo headquarters with locations in Orland Park, Warrenville, and Schaumburg. You got to be listening if you want to win. 312-644-6767 is our phone number at WSCR The Score. Email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text, go to 67011. And when you send one, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter at Bernstein _MCK. That man is at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan _Bernstein. You must download the Radio.com app.
Remember, no matter how bad it gets, you're not the Phoenix Suns.
And you can stream the Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. If you want to watch us, you can on these cameras here. Oh, there's Ray. Hey, Ray, how's it going?
Hi, Ray.
Shout out Ray.
He's up, Ray?
See, there he is. Photobombing.
He found that camera.
Wow. Yeah, he knows. It's a moth.
A star turn.
Brian Gertz directs the video feed at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. The producers indeed are Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and that man Ray Diaz, who just popped in. I hate these whole statement game things with the Cubs or statement series or all that, but the truth is they've been playing some teams that are eh. The Dodgers are not eh.
Oh, they're not.
They're very far from eh.
They're very woof. Mm-hmm. They're not eh. They're somewhere between ouch and boing. I mean, that is a ball club.
And the machine that goes bing.
That's a hell of a ball club. And I think the lady doth protest too much.
Which one?
Mr. Bernstein.
What'd I do?
I think you've begun to like these statement games. I think you're slowly, I think the worm, the worms we found while we were repairing the walk, the gravel walkway for the children to play on at the community garden, the worm has turned.
Found some big ass night crawlers. Those
did you take
good.
Some home with you?
I was tempted to.
I think the only thing that stopped you from taking worms home from the community garden we helped resuscitate just a little bit yesterday was the fact that you couldn't find a box to put them in.
No, I moved the night crawlers into the actual they weren't going to plant where we are. We were sort of excavating. And filling in a path for kids
with the entire.
And so when we found the night crawlers, if you noticed, I was moving them into the elevated planter areas where they could actually aerate and fertilize.
I did see you throw something from about 40 feet. Did you hit it?
I repeatedly was moving they were regular red earthworms and night crawlers that were being placed where they could benefit everyone. That was fun yesterday. Thanks to everybody at Entercom and all for facilitating our Earth Day volunteer work. I said I wanted to use a wheelbarrow.
You did. Was that a first time wheelbarrow?
No,
okay, so many wheelbarrows.
Yes.
I was hoping that there would be a lawnmower of some kind. just so I can see you look at it and just kind of evaluate it,
marvel
what the
over
hell it is.
Yeah, a couple things yesterday that was, first of all, the best popsicle I've ever had in my life.
Of all time.
It's Pancho's Paletas.
Yes.
And the lime-flavored paleta.
A revelation.
The best popsicle I've ever eaten in my life.
Never had anything like it. I mean, the consistency was perfect. The taste, the whole thing. And then the timing of it, it was a rescue popsicle. We've talked a lot about rescue pizza on this show. You know, the pizza that shows up just in time to bring you back from however close you got to the edge. This was a rescue popsicle.
And it's not too sweet either. I was worried it was going to be cloyingly sweet, and it's tart, just a little bit of sweetness to it, just perfect. Ideal. And then, of course, we were finishing up. The other volunteers, by the way, had left, had worked on some of the path, and we were finishing up, and we were...
Well, they had gone over to the mulch. I mean, everybody's working
digging,
just as hard.
Excavating, sanding, mm-hmm. graveling, tamping down. We had to get the gravel from the gravel pit, bring it over, do all this stuff. So we're like, okay. We're done now. Uh-huh. And the woman in charge,
Maria,
came over to take a look. And we're like, huh? Yeah? So we've been doing for the last 3 hours? It's pretty good work here, right?
Praise us, please.
Right. And I was expecting a pat on the back, a thank you for anything you've done.
Well, there's more popsicles, grab a water, have a sandwich.
Nope. She looks over and she goes, extend the path over there by the tires and put more gravel underneath the area where the tires are.
Okay, great. Break.
What?
That was OG is what it was.
Yes, it was. I looked at him like,
hardcore.
Like, not only are we not done... And not only are we not like getting, you know, her just the big old attaboy from Maria.
You have to go do harder stuff.
Right. Like, get after it. Like, okay. All right.
That's great. Now put your backs into it. All right. Good talk. See you out there.
All right. I thought, kind of thought we'd done okay at that
praise?
Point.
No, there will be be none from here. Plenty of praise for the Dodgers as they're coming off a 3-of-4 against the Brewers. If you've noticed, there are home runs leaving the ballpark left and right.
I have noticed that.
We've got Joe Sheehan coming up at 10 o'clock. We're going to talk to him about what baseball is and what baseball isn't and how the Cubs and Dodgers kind of compare respectively. But I heard Len Casper on with Mully and Haw this morning, and Len said that the Dodgers are close to 2 home runs a game. And I Len's right. I mean, they are close to 2 home runs a game, but I wanted to know exactly how close. I wanted to, like, you know, feel that stat a little bit more. The Mariners lead baseball as a team in home runs hit per game at 2.25 per ball game. That's a lot. The Brewers are second in baseball, 1.96 home runs per game. Most of that's Christian Yelich. The Dodgers are third, 1.46. So they're right. I mean, that's a half a home run off early on. That's exactly what we're talking about. League average is 1.36. The Cubs are under that at 1.3. The Dodgers lift and separate among the best in baseball. Mm-hmm. It is quite something else. But where I'm looking is just at what was in the first 20 games of this season. They have righted the ship some. It is much better to see this bullpen throw the way it has. It is far better to see the rotation work the way it has over the last 7-8 games or so as they've clawed their way back here. That's going to be important for the Cubs, phenomenally important for them as they get to the deadline and whatnot. Did you see how the Brewers have flagged off here? Some of it because of the Dodgers. 5-9 the last 2 weeks.
Well, a lot of it's because everybody but Christian Yelich, as you pointed out yesterday, and looking at the OPS plus or way to runs created plus mm-hmm. for guys out who are not named Christian Yelich.
Yeah, their lineup has struggled some. The Dodgers can pitch well. The Brewers have given up 60 runs in their last 14 games. They're 24th in team ERA and 20th in WHIP. It just feels, and Len pointed this out this morning too, guy's a smart baseball guy. It feels like the National League, maybe more than the American League, is just one of these where you just have to stay above water against your own division, especially in the Central like this. Just keep your nose above the waves and see if you can stop yourself from drowning and then beat up on bad teams. You know, beat up on the Marlins when you get a chance. Because this schedule, it turns for the Cubs now. You've got some tough ball games. You've got the Dodgers for 3. You've seen the Diamondbacks, and they're fine, I guess. But then you've got the Mariners for 2. You know, that's the team that's hitting over 2.25 home runs per ball game. 3 against the Cardinals, who have one of the better peripheral numbers, have some of the best run differential, not to mention a 13-9 record. And then you've got four against the Marlins, beat them up, and then you got to go face the Brewers. Mm-hmm. Maybe they figure their pitching out. Maybe things get a little bit better for them. Jeremy Jeffress is back, and that helps them a bit. I mean, the schedule gets real now. It's a serious piece of baseball here.
You're allowed to feel good about yourself, and you're allowed to feel good about this the string of performance from your starting pitchers. That's fine. But, you know, when they say carry this into some of these more difficult matchups, you've got hitters with better plans. You've got hitters with a lot more talent. And like you say, elevating the baseball. Last time I was at Wrigley Field to see the Dodgers, I saw Cody Bellinger hit a ball very, very far.
That man does that.
Yeah. I also saw Carl Edwards Jr. walk Yu Darvish.
It was that game.
It was that game.
You're going to do this?
And headed back to the game tonight to see if I can get that Cubs-Dodgers Wrigley taste out of my mouth.
Yeah, that's something you can't really, you don't want that, Elaine.
No,
I don't want to watch that.
This segment is brought to you by the Chicago Bears. Don't miss out on the largest gathering of Bears players and fans ever at Bears 100 Celebration Weekend, June 7th through the 9th in Rosemont. Get free autographs and photos, see one-of-a-kind panels with the 2019 Bears Hall of Famers and other alumni together on stage. Visit chicagobears.com for tickets.
Go Bears!
Yeah, I mean, it's a good ball club that you're going to see, and the day off helps a bit. It's nice to have had John Lester kind of put some things together in some rehab work. Things seem on track there. But as much as, yeah, I mean, the old phrase is momentum is your next day's starter, you know, that kind of thing. It's the old Vin Scully aphorism. Quintana feels like that as much as anybody else.
You know, because momentum is tomorrow's starting pitcher.
There you go, Vin. With as much irpiness as the Yu Darvish starts can create, and with as much unsettling nature, I guess. How do you want to put that? How do you want to fix that for me? Go ahead. I'm charging you with that right now. You can go ahead and fix it. With as unsettling as Tyler there. Chatwood's start was on mm-hmm. Sunday, we'll just edit right here on the show.
No, it was settling.
Well, as unsettling as it was going into the start.
I see. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like you're walking around all day going, "Huh, it's fine. Tyler Chatwood's starting. Everything. I'm not pouring sweat or anything like that." You have like three chances in every five to get things. You have steady dudes in Hamels and Lester when he gets back, and Quintana. You need those. You need those kind of things to make sure the bullpen stays on track in case horrible things happen with those other two.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of ciphers in this bullpen. You got guys you've never heard of. You got AAA guys in arms that were there in training camp that you're like, "Hey, this guy, who's this guy again? And who's this guy again? And who's the 5'7" lefty who's throwing 93-mile-an-hour fastballs?" That you know, familiarize yourself with some of these guys because already this is being patched together. Already you've had high leverage guys. You know, Morrow, I'm not counting on at all. I'm not counting on him being back at all.
Brandon Morrow? No. No, and I started looking at this last night a little bit, and it's somewhat early, but try and identify the places that the teams from which you could go acquire pitching. You know, in years past, you know, you'd look at a Pirates team that just kind of grows arms, and Ray Searidge kind of creates some bullpen things for you to come find. Or maybe it's the Twins who are ready to give up on a youngster too early. Or perhaps it's the Rays who are looking for a manageable contract to put into their whole long-term plan and okay with giving up an arm or two. Those teams are all fairly decent. They've gotten off to good starts. And you know, part of the reason I brought up Milwaukee's struggles in pitching the last 2 weeks or so, if they need the same thing you do, and they can be really, I mean, you can pick it. I mean, if it's the Cardinals struggling to pitch at a certain time down the stretch or into July, if the Cubs are doing the same thing, if the Brewers are as well, now you've got three competitors for a division title, all of them looking mm-hmm. for the same kind of stuff or the very same things. That again, increases the need, the desperate need to improve on the margins any way you can in a division that seems to be pretty damn close.
It makes everything a little bit more fun. It gives everything a little bit of Theo Epstein's urgency early in the year. The question is now in the actual rubber meeting the road, in the managerial decisions, how we see these games handled based on the projected lineup for an entire series now. Who's where, who's when, and where is that circle of trust? I just think that earlier on, because of this seriousness and because of the the projection of intensity from on high early, which has been the unifying theme of this season, coupled with the difficult start, the fact that you tripped and fell out of the starting gate.
That matters. You don't get to erase that.
Right.
Those losses stick around.
No, those are there. You're not over 500. You're trying to recover from that. You've gotten yourself back. It feels like the season has stabilized, but your margin for error is slim and none. You got to get on with it now. And we'll see how that manifests itself in the way these games are played.
And I was talking about the rotation a little bit earlier. Texter pointing out that I've now lumped Kyle Hendricks into the horrible category. And I suppose I got a little out over the skis there, but do you feel, I mean, yeah, his start against the Diamondbacks was terrific. It was vintage Kyle Hendricks, all the good stuff. Even despite his 2-3 starts that weren't all that great, the 13 and a third innings he went with the 5.5 ERA, I think you could make the case that given the stuff he threw, what he was working with, that he was worse than those numbers made it look. Yeah. He skated around like a veteran pitcher some bigger issues that he was dealing with there. It could have been, I thought, a lot worse for Kyle Hendricks in those three starts that he had, given the fact that he left so much up and in the middle of the plate.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Nothing beats playoff hockey in Chicago. Your Central Division champion Chicago Wolves and Grand Rapids split the first two games of the Calder Cup playoffs first round. For up-to-date playoff information or tickets, visit chicagowolves.com. You know what significant moment happened in baseball 20 years ago today?
20 years. That goes to 1990. Off the top of my head, no.
Really?
Yeah. 99. No, what do you got?
I've got something that had never happened.
And if I
had to bet, it ain't going to happen again. This record will never be matched.
Okay. A record that no one will approach. And we had some veteran leadership out east. One of the biggest names in baseball has been called out for some nonsense by a fan favorite here in town. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670, The Score.
And the pitch. The runners go 3-2 to T. Swing and a long one. There it is, folks. Baseball history. A second grand slam home run for Fernando Tatis in the third inning in Los Angeles, California. And the Cardinals lead it 11-2.
That's Mike Shannon, and that was right. April 23rd, 1999. And you're too young to remember the television show Space 1999.
I don't remember that being
Martin
a thing at
Landau.
All.
Yeah, they have some very cool toys
Martin
there.
Martin Landau was in that?
Yeah. And
all right.
It was like imagining what life would be like in 1999. It seemed so far away.
Were there flying cars? I always thought we were going to have flying cars.
Elon Musk is on it. He's going to get you your flying
No, he's promised. I saw this in the elevator on the way up. I love the elevator news thing. You know, I'm sure you have it at work too. You know, you get the little view screen there, and it just flashes headlines up. Elon Musk has promised us self-driving taxis by 2020.
Yep.
His cars are blowing up in parking lots all over the world.
They're a little explosive.
I got you the whole self-driving. Yep. You're going to be fine.
So can you name the pitcher?
No.
Chan Ho Park.
Oh, yeah, of course. It was.
Chan Ho Park surrendered. This is two grand slams in one inning off the same pitcher. And there's a White Sox connection because Fernando Tatis Jr. was the White Sox prospect that was traded for James Shields and is now himself awesome and probably going to be way better than his dad. Now, Tatis was 24. He had never hit a grand slam.
Is it more likely that Fernando Tatis Jr. ends up hitting two grand slams in one inning or that James Shields comes back to pitch and gives up two grand slams in one inning?
It's just amazing. He hit a Chan Ho Park pitch 450 feet, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, saying if only exit velocity were a thing back then. The inning got wackier because everybody was concerned about Mark McGwire. Because remember, this is 99.
Yeah, that's right.
So all they cared about was trying to make sure he didn't beat anybody. And then Tatis came up again, got a 3-2 slider, and launched it into the left field pavilion. And it ended up being a 12-5 game. And this piece here, this commemorative piece, actually talks to Chan Ho Park. And he said, really, it's what people had wanted to talk about with him more than anything else was being the guy to give up two grand slams to the same guy in one inning.
That sucks.
This segment's brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you, newmailmedical.com.
So it won't be broken. One of those that will never be broken. The three Grand Slams in an inning will never happen. Two Grand Slams off the same pitcher probably won't happen. Is it, because I always go back to the Johnny Vandermeer thing, you know, pitching two consecutive no-hitters for the Cincinnati Reds back in the, I think it's 39, I don't know if it was 40 maybe, and that won't be broken either. Obviously, no one's going to throw three consecutive no-hitters. It's not going to happen. What's more likely to be tied, though? Is it more likely that we get one more two Grand Slams in one inning from a player, or more likely we consecutive no-hitters from a starter?
The actual mathematical answer is probably they're both so astronomically unlikely that we're going out to the 10,000th place here in calculating the actual likelihood, which tells me that's just a moot academic exercise.
Of course, it's moot. Right? But we've got Joe Sheehan coming up in like 13 minutes, and he loves moot academic exercises.
Yes, it's kind of his whole earthly existence.
I think that's his shadowed Twitter profile, moot academics.
don't even talk to me until it's the 18th inning and this is happening, all right?
That's
what you're talking about, the first concert you went to, possibly, right?
Which was Blink-182 show, Bad Religion.
Yeah, a couple of texters said they were at that show.
Yeah, I don't know if they were. Let me know, because I think we went to go see them at Ravinia. We didn't go to Milwaukee's Summerfest grounds for that show. We went down south of Chicago, which I believe was Ravinia. I should text Pete and just find out where we went. But
It said south of Chicago. Been south of Milwaukee.
South of Milwaukee. And that's, so I'm pretty sure that's where we're at. But let me know where that show was. That was a blast. Bad Religion is badass.
You mentioned that there was some internal fireworks with the Philadelphia Phillies as well.
Yes, there was. Jake Arrieta if you saw it last night, Bryce Harper came out of the dugout, started arguing balls and strikes, got tossed out of the game, and Jake Arrieta has said some stuff. Calling Bryce Harper out for his own, for his brash reaction, saying you need him in right field. He wasn't there for us. I don't care how bad he is. All that good stuff. And I kind of have to tip the, as much as I love Bryce Harper and the whole act that he brings, knowing that it's very much planned from Bryce. I mean, the guy's been on the Sports Illustrated cover since he's 16. There, it feels as though every aspect of his life has been, the public part of it, has been created, right? It's been, whether it's by him or by advertisers, marketing, whatever, it's kind of been created. The way he's gone out of his way to embrace everything Philly he can, to kind of, pander might not be the right word, but certainly like show up for Philly's fans.
Yeah, but he sounded contrite.
For the lifestyle and stuff. He did.
He knows he's got to be out there for his teammates, but Arrieta, man,
I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. I think those are two guys who it's nice to see some of that leadership. Kind of, again, it goes back to something we were talking about with John Lester, and I wonder how much of this maybe went from Lester to Arrieta in their brief time together with the Cubs, a couple of years. We talked a lot about the fact of it's difficult for a pitcher sometimes to lead because it's only if they're competing once in every 5 days. He's not out there every day. And in the past, that's felt like a difficult place to be a leader from.
But the way baseball teams communicate and the way information is disseminated has changed that, I think. I think the fact that microphones are everywhere and that social media keeps us connected, it's not like the pitcher's away from the team for those other days.
Yeah, if Jake hadn't pitched, or if it was a day where he was, had his side day or whatever and a whole bunch of work, a day you might otherwise not get him as a media member, if he wanted to say something, it'd still be real easy for him to find a microphone. Even if it wasn't him that guys were going to after the game. We got Joe Sheehan coming up in a couple of minutes, but something I want to ask you about here. I saw something in the White Sox game last night. By the way, nice to see Jose Abreu get on track, maybe just a little bit. 3-for-6, picked up his batting average, a couple of points, the whole thing. It was a ton of fun to watch him hit last night against a really
awful, horrendous
team. But it was innocuous play, right? And it's Yonder Alonso on second base. Tim Anderson grounds to short in front of Alonso, and there's an error on the play. Take a listen.
One out, one and two. Yonder at second. Tanner Scott to Anderson. And Tim grounds it to short. Play is at third. Yonder safe. Tim behind it goes to second. The ball goes into the dugout. Yonder Alonso scores, and it's 7-1, the Sox.
It'll be E6 once again, as Martin's having a real tough night.
Yeah, it was a real bad night for the Orioles shortstop there. But I was watching the play, and you don't want to see a slow, lumbering dude like Yonder Alonso take off on a ground ball in front of him and make an out at third. Right? I mean, that's just baseball 101. You learn that in Babe Ruth. But before I could even like yell and get real angry at the TV like I like to on a base running mistake like that, the error was made and the run comes around to score. And I couldn't help but think that if strikeouts are up as high as they are in baseball right now, and home runs are up as high as they are in baseball right now, that the idea of getting from second to third base, moving up that 90 feet.
Yeah, who cares?
Or going around the horn, going from first to third. The instances of that mattering as much as it used to are down, because the outcomes that would make you score the 90, the single to right field that's going to score you from second
wild
base.
Pitch.
And that will score you from third and not score
Correct.
You from second. Those don't happen as much anymore.
Well,
so I wonder if, you know, Alonso gets home on the air.
We calculate run expectancy based on a huge volume of information.
And outcomes. And
presuming a percentage difference significance between being on second and third, do we have enough now in the juice ball era, or the juice ball era 2 redux
2.5 reboot
Neo
download
something
thing.
Maybe it doesn't matter as much?
I'm just wondering if the outcomes aren't there, if that single to right that's going to score you from third but doesn't from second doesn't happen anymore, and everybody's just hitting dingers and everything's scoring position. I tend to wonder if going from first to third, that kind of extra 90 feet mentality, base running,
worth the risk.
Is worth as much of the risk as it used to be.
Tom in Westchester, you're on the score.
Guys, that Tatis thing was nuts. I kind of recall that. But forget it being duplicated. How many times, and maybe this is something for Scott and Davenport to research, how many times in history has a guy even had the opportunity to hit two grand slams in an inning? In other words, he hit one and then came up again with the bases loaded. I can't imagine it's...
You probably counted on one hand, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's just to deliver on it is one thing, or to even say, oh my gosh, look what he might be able to do here because of the circumstances that would have to all conflate. It's a great question.
Think about leaving a pitcher in that long in this time of baseball. Nobody gets those chances. You give up three base runners like that, then the homer, then you get pulled in the second inning.
The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Nothing beats playoff hockey in Chicago. The Central Division champion Chicago Wolves and Grand Rapids split the first two games in the Calder Cup playoffs first round. For up-to-date playoff information or tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Joe Sheehan brings us baseball wisdom by the bucket full, so don't go anywhere. You've got the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.